Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. We are so excited. It is Tuesday night, and tonight is Praise Tabernacle Church Bible study. We are so excited to have each and every one of you on listening on tonight. Our usual host, which is Elder Richard Taylor, is not with us on tonight. We are keeping him in our prayers and in our thoughts, him and his family. So I will serve as your host tonight, and my name is Evangelist Dove Stanton. Tonight we are just excited about the Word of God. We pray and hope that everyone is having a great week thus far and that you are trusting God each and every step of the way. Please get your pencils, your paper, and your Bibles. Please get your pencil, your paper, and your Bibles, and take notes and study the word that is brought forward on tonight for yourself also, just to make sure that you're getting what you should get out of the Word of God. We should all do that. I have my pencil, my paper, and my Bible, and I hope that everyone on the panel does also. Tonight we have a great minister, elder, teacher, even though sometimes I think he says he preaches more than he teaches, but he teaches in a great and awesome way. And our teacher on tonight is Elder Derek Oliver. I'm going to pray, and once I finish praying, I will turn it over to Elder Derek Oliver. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and are made glad in it. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your joy, your peace. We thank you for life. We thank you that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that every listener is living an abundant life in and through you, Father. We pray for the word that's going to be taught on tonight. Father God, we pray that you would give us something out of this word so that we can see how to live each and every day. I pray that you would touch our speaker on tonight, touch his thoughts, his mind, his heart. We thank you for the word that you have given to him to give to us. We pray, God, that you would pour back into him everything that he's going to pour out to us. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And I'll turn it over to you, Elder Oliver.
Thank you, Evangelist Stanton. Thank you so much. Thank you for filling in for Elder Taylor. Thank you for the prayer. For all those that's on the panel that's on, I just want to say thank you. For all those that are listening, Praise Tabernacle members, I just want to say thank you. Those that are listening in on Chaos Blog Talk, I just want to say thank you. And on behalf of our Bishop, Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Pamela Zachary, they send their thanks, their love, and support as well. And with that being said, I'm going to get into the lesson. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to give you time to get there. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verse 15 and 16 is where I'm going to start. Before I even read that, I'm going to give a background of what's going on in 15 and 16. And if you get a chance, just read all chapter 6, the whole chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. It talks about the Ark of the Covenant, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But I'm going to start here, and then, because once I get started, I don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to lead me or take me, but I'm going to try to teach this, but I'm going to be leaving. And the title of my message is Rest, R-E-S-T. And I'm just going to leave it there, and I'll get into it in a little bit. But I did not originally plan to teach this today. I was trying to be a good teacher and study and have my lesson planned and have it done like by Friday and be able to, you know, plan it and be ready to go by Tuesday. And then the thing, life happens. Stuff just happens to you. And the Lord has a tendency of changing things up. So what I prepared over the last couple of weeks, Lord said, you can't do that based upon what I went through over the weekend. And what I went through over the weekend, I just want y'all to just go on a ride with me, go on a journey with me, because we are, just because of things that have happened, and it just made me change my mindset on a lot of things. And what I wanted to do, I couldn't do because the Lord switched the message up. And you know, I had my family on my side, my wife's side, all come together to celebrate a graduation. And me and my wife was the host of this great event. And everything that happened, I had to look at it in a spiritual sense and not a natural sense, because that's the way the Lord made me look at it. And not that I was mad or frustrated or upset that the things didn't go the way I wanted it to go, because it went the way the Lord wanted it to go. And at the end of the day, I was resting in comfort by the word of God, because people are going to be people and people are going to do what people do. And when I say people, I'm talking about the world. They do what they want to do. And it just had me just in my thoughts, not mad. I don't want people to think I was mad. I don't want people to think I was frustrated. But I'm sure every believer goes through what I went through over the weekend. And I probably got family members listening, and they're probably not going to take well to what I say. But the truth, if you're preaching and teaching the truth will set you free. And some truth do hurt. It just hurts. And, you know, I just feel that tonight's message is for me before anybody else, because this is what the Lord was showing me, and he keeps bringing me to this. So if you have 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verse 15 and 16. And before I read that, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a piece of furniture, and it represented the presence of God. It represented the presence of God. It was a very important piece of furniture that they had, and it was Israel did not have it. It was stolen. It was not in their possession for 20 years. And for 20 years, the Ark of the Covenant, and you can read all this in the beginning chapters of the beginning of chapter 6, the Ark of the Covenant, and how David had to go back and get the Ark of the Covenant. And like I said, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And anyone just couldn't deal hold the Ark of the Covenant. And if you read about it, you read about the guy that tried to touch it and was striking dead because only the high priest could touch the Ark of the Covenant. But when they got the Ark of the Covenant and David went and got it and he returned it, it was returned to Israel. You got to understand, the Ark of the Covenant represents God's presence, and it was gone. They didn't have it for 20 years. So you have to understand, Israel was without God's presence. He was without God's power, and it was without God's provision. And when they got the Ark of the Covenant back, they had a parade. They had a party because it was restored where it belonged. And what I'm trying to get you to see is when things come back to his rightful place, what happened with David here in verse 15 and 16, he began to praise God. And when things return to their rightful place, a celebration ought to happen. And when you're in God's presence, celebration ought to happen. Because not only are you in his presence, you're in his power. Not only are you in his power, you're in his provision. That's what the Ark of the Covenant represents. So if we go to the 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to read verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sounds of the trumpet. And the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michelle, Saul's daughter, looking through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. I'm going to stop right there. King David was leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. First of all, Michelle was Saul's daughter. That was David's wife. And there's a lot of history here, and I'm going to try to touch on some of it. I'm not going to get to all of it. But Saul's daughter, David's wife, despised him. They went and got the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's, that represents the presence of God, represents God's power and the provision. And they got it. So there was a celebration. So David, all of Israel took a holiday, and they was praising the Lord. They were giving him thanks. They were giving him praise and worship to the Lord. And his wife, looking through the window, seeing him praise the Lord, he praised God so hard that all of his clothes came off, and she despised him because the King David, was praising the Lord. She despised him with her heart. And this is what I'm reminded of my weekend, and some of you guys can relate to what I'm getting ready to say, because when things return to his rightful place, when you're in the presence of God, you ought to have a praise. You ought to have a worship. You ought to have a thanks for the Lord. And they've been without the Ark of the Covenant for 20 years. The Bible says they didn't have it. So when things come in its rightful place, we ought to celebrate the Lord. And not only we ought to celebrate the Lord, but you got people, David's wife, who saw him worshiping the Lord. I want you to get this now. She despised him. She did not like him praising and worshiping the Lord. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. People who are close to us, whether it's your wife, whether it's your brother, whether it's your cousins, your family, whoever, when things return to its rightful place, people will despise you because of the way you praise God. People will despise you because of the way you serve the Lord. And this was his wife. I'm going to use his wife to represent family, friends, co-workers. They will despise you because you do not have or you do not live the way that they live, or because you're not doing what they're doing. So because you're doing a different way, they will look at you and despise you. And I was looking at my weekend, and it started maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, and people who saw that me and my family were blessed, they were despised. They wanted to cause conflict in my house. They wanted to say, because we were godly, the rules were the rules because we were holy rollers, or they were making comments because we don't do certain things that they do. And yet they tried to present it in our house. They despised the way we were living our life. And it's frustrating when you're living for the Lord and the people who are close to you despise you. They don't like you. They talk about you. And you haven't done nothing wrong to them, but all you're doing is living for the Lord. And David, because he went and got the ark that was gone for so long and had a parade and wanted to praise the Lord, his closest person despised him. And I'm wondering to myself, I'm like, Lord, okay, I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get people. What am I supposed to do? And this is where the word rest come in. And I'm going to be throwing some scriptures out here, and we're going to be going through some scriptures, because it's very important that if you are in Christ and you're living your life for the Lord and you're doing what the Lord tells you to do, and people close to you despise you, try to come against you, it ain't about you. It's about the lifestyle that you live. And whether you praise and you shout or you dance or whatever it may be, they're going to find something wrong with you. And all you're doing is praising the Lord, living for the Lord, doing what God would have you do every single day. And I wanted to say this because the Lord put it on my heart today as I was going out in my day. He was telling me in the Holy Spirit, he was telling me that you just have to continue to rest in him. Mm-hmm. Rest, R-E-S-T. R-E-S-T, rest in the Lord. And if we can rest in the Lord, the R is renew your mind. E, endure the conditions. S, stand on the word. And T, trust God for the results. So we're going to go with the R, renew your mind. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Romans 12:2. We have to learn how to renew our mind as we're resting in the Lord. Romans 12:2, and it says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when I read this scripture and I saw this, and it says we can't be like the world, we have to be different. So what they were doing to me, that's normal in the spirit realm. It's normal. And I have to understand why they were coming at me, why they were saying the comments and the stuff that was going on. It wasn't to be unexpected, because that's what the world do. The world, when they come together and we're different, they're going to do what they do, and we have to do what we do. And something is going to have to give. And if your light is shiny, the light will shine in the darkness. But if we get upset and we run into a corner, then it's going to be darkness. And we're supposed to be the light of the world. We have to renew our mind. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So whenever we're going through our day, we have to learn how to rest, renew. We have to learn how to rest, and we have to learn how to renew our minds. And if we can learn how to renew our mind, we will be at peace regardless what the situation may be, regardless what they may say about us, regardless how they may point their fingers at us. We will be resting and we'll be okay, and then our light will continue to shine. It will continue to shine. And I just want to, I don't want to get too far because I feel like preaching this thing. But I'm going to try to teach this thing the way the Lord told me to teach it. But I am a preacher. And I just want you to understand that we have to have our minds. We have to have our mind before we can rest and before the world comes after us. And whether you go to work, whether you're dealing with family, regardless what the situation may be, we're going to be attacked because of who we are and whose we are. And we have to have the scriptures, or we have to have the ability to stay spiritual minded when we come up against adversities, or when we just come up with life. It don't have to be any specific thing. It could just be life. And I'm telling you, this weekend has taught me, and because we had a graduation party, we had a party at my house, we had family. And when you get your family together, and I'm going to show you something, your spiritual family or even your natural family, you're going to have some conflict. Mm-hmm. And the family who knows my standards in my house, I'm going to use me as an example, and I want to show you this. They tried to bring everything that me and my wife, everything that we don't do, and we don't, the world tried to come into my house. Just let me say that. They tried to bring the world into my house. And the funny thing about what I'm going to say, it wasn't the world that was trying to bring it into my house. It was the people in my house that was allowing it to come into my house. Because the world was already on notice, they don't do that. But once they stepped foot in my house, people inside the house let them do that. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to say is sometimes we as Christians, and when we allow people who don't believe come into the house, and we know they don't believe, we try to make them feel comfortable in our house and let them feel like they're at home. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. When they come in our house, there's supposed to be a difference. It's supposed to be the light is supposed to shine on the darkness. But some of the people in my house tried to make the darkness comfortable. And sometimes in church, when people come to church, we want them to be comfortable instead of being convicted of whatever they're going through. Well, we ain't going to talk about this because we know they do that, and we want them to be comfortable the first couple Sundays. But when the Lord says, you know, we're not like them, we're not supposed to make them comfortable. So hopefully y'all understand what I'm saying. I'm going to pause for a minute, see if anyone has anything they want to say.
Wow, thank you, Elder. I get what you're saying. I thinking back on David's wife, I think she got upset because David was, first of all, dancing with or praising God with the common people. And she probably felt like, look, you're a king. What you doing with the common people? And then for him to come out of his clothes, he worshiped so hard because his worship was to God and not to the people.
People, exactly.
And it's when I think coming out of his clothes, I think of shaking off people. I think about not worrying about how other people look at you while you worship. So, I mean, yes, he physically came out of his clothes, but I also think in the natural sense when we have, you know, when we in worship, not worrying about who's around us to the point where we can't worship because we're wondering what they're going to say. So take off those clothes. Take off the clothes of what people think about you in your worship, because your worship belongs to God, not to the people. And so, you know, she probably was looking at him like, yeah, you out there with the common people and you're a king and look at you, you coming out of your clothes. But it's a reminder to us, just as you said, in our house we serve the Lord. So if you're here in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And there's going to be boundaries in our house. What you do in your house, that's what you do. But in this house, this is what it's going to be like. So it's a reminder to us to take off the worries of what people think about you in your praise, in your worship. And like you said, we're supposed to be that light anyway. That's a part of our light, is praising. I was thinking about recently, I had made a statement about Jeremiah when he talks about it's like fire. The Holy Ghost is like fire shut up in his bones. It came to me that our praise is our smoke signal. So right. if that fire is shut up in my bones and I begin to praise and I begin to worship and pray and study the Word of God, that's my smoke signal up to God. This is what I got going on. And the interpretation brings, the Holy Spirit brings the interpretation of that. So, yes, I'm going to shake off what other people think about me in my worship, because you don't know what God has brought me through.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you. And another thing, he was with the common people, and this is just a little side note, but this was the king, and you know, he was the leader. And sometimes when we go into praise and worship, sometimes we think we're too good to worship and praise God with the common people. We want to sit and be high and mighty and sit on our throne while everybody else is praising and worshiping God. But David was just like everybody else. And for his wife, and there was a reason she was looking at him crazy, because that was Saul's daughter. But that's a story for a different day. And Saul was the first king that God rejected, and that was his daughter. So he was better than her father. And she was just despising him. And because he was worshiping. And how can you be, and my question always comes up when I read this, how can you be in the presence of God watching somebody else praise God unless you're not connected to God? And I'm going to say that again. How can you be in the presence of God and not praise God, watching someone else praise God, unless you're not connected to God? There's no way that we can all assemble ourselves as believers in the presence of God, because you have to understand the presence of God represents his power. It also represents his provision. And if we're around all of that, how can I be watching Evangelist Stanton praise God and I don't praise God? And if I'm not praising God and I'm in the presence of God, it must mean I'm not connected to God. Because if you're connected to God, you're going to praise God when you're in his presence. You're not going to have time to look at any and everybody else and see what they're doing unless you're not connected to the Lord. That's just my opinion, and that's just what I think. I can't go to church in the house of the Lord and look at everybody praise God and judge them, because if I do that, I can't be connected, because when there's something about when you're in the presence of God that takes over, you don't see, you just want to praise him. You want to worship him. Yes. You want to give him your all when you're in the presence of God. But if I'm always looking at people, seeing what they're doing or how they're praising God, then something's wrong with me. There's something that's not godly like me, because when you're in the presence of God, one of the blessing of the whole thing over the weekend for me was someone came to my home and they said they felt something when they came in. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I wanted to hear. If it wasn't but one person that felt something, they felt the presence of God in the house. Even though I had hell all around it, they felt the presence. So I knew the presence of God was here, but everyone don't want to receive the presence of God. Everyone don't want to be around the presence of God because they're not of God. They're of the world. And again, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And it goes to my scripture in Romans 12:2, our mind. We got to have the mindset of God. And if our mindset is of God, we're rolling with him and not with them. And there's going to be a separation. They're going to bring everything they got to bring the darkness around the light, to try to cover the light. It's our job to keep it shining and keep living for Christ. And as I move on, I said rest. We went through Romans 12:2, but also we have to endure the conditions. Whatever we're going through, we have to endure the conditions. How do we endure the conditions? We endure the conditions, Mark 13:13. Mark 13:13 says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." And it says again, we shall be hated as Christians. We shall be hated walking for the Lord. We shall be hated when we're running for the Lord. We're going to be hated because we're not like the world. And if we can endure this till the end, if we can hold up until the end, we're going to make it. We're going to come out overcomers. We're going to win at the end. We just have to endure whatever we're going through, whatever the people are saying about us, however people are talking about us. We have to endure it. We have to take it. We have to learn to deal with it. We can't always want to give people a piece of our mind. We can't be like the world. We have to be the light of the world. We have to endure the hardness. Whatever people say about us, we have to endure it. The Bible, we have to endure it. And once we endure it, that is the E. The S is we have to stand. We have to stand on the Word of God. And if we can stand on the Word of God, again, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians, because now we have to stand. We didn't renew in our mind. We didn't endure the hardship. Now we have to stand on the Word of God. We have to stand on the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. We have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We always supposed to be doing the work of the Lord. If we're doing something and it's not the work of the Lord, it's going to be of, and if I'm wrong, correct me, it's going to be of darkness. Regardless of what we do, it ought to be a work for the Lord. When you go to work, you ought to be going to work for the Lord. There ought to be a difference about you than your coworkers. When you're going around your family, there ought to be a difference. When you go visit your family, it ought not be a visit, but it ought to be a fellowship. There always got to be something different because we're not like the world. When you have a get-together at your house, it's supposed to be a fellowship. Even though they may be in darkness, your light is supposed to shine, and it's supposed to be a difference. We're supposed to always be working to uplift the Lord. Wherever the situation may be, the Lord's conversation ought to come up. I'm going to share something personal with you. And the week started out, my wife's son wants to get a tattoo. And the rule my wife set has been set in her house forever. When you turn 18, you can do what you want to do. He's going to be 17 in a couple of days. And everybody from family members were like, "Well, why can't he get a tattoo now? Why can't he do that?" They were asking. And I'm like, it's the rule of the house. It's the rule of the house. It's our rules in our house. And people was trying to say, "Oh, because they're godly people, there ain't nothing wrong for him to get it now. What's the difference in a year?" They were trying to corrupt the rules in the house. And I'm sitting here and I'm watching this. It had nothing to do with them, but they were trying to come in my house and disrupt the rules and give him ammunition to say, well, everyone else saying I should be able to get it. And I'm like, Lord, why are they pressing these little issues? Little stuff like that is going on. Well, why can't we drink wine in your house? Because we don't. It's something we don't do. And not only we don't do it, there's a reason we don't do it. Alcoholism runs in my family. It runs in my wife's family. We don't know if a sip would trigger us into doing something like that, going off
right,
the deep end.
Right.
It may just be something simple for some people. And I'm not, you know, that's what you do. But for us, it may trigger something. So we just don't do it. It's the rules of our house. Now, how everybody else do it in their house, that's them. But for us, this is how we do it. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not saying people are bad that get tattoos or do this or do that. I'm not saying any of that. But for my house, this is the way we're going to do it. But when people come against you, that's from the outside. The darkness comes in. It tries to break you down. And what I'm trying to say, we have to stand on his word. We have to always be working for the Lord. And people kept saying, oh, because they holy, because they did. That's what they kept. That was their go-to call. And it wasn't just tattoos. It wasn't just out. It was just a whole lot of other stuff. And by the end of the night of Saturday night after the graduation party, I was so tired spiritually because I had to keep myself spiritually grounded. Because if I didn't stay spiritually grounded, I would have acted like the world and gave them a piece of my mind. And then they would have been able to say, you just like us. But because I kept a grin on my face and I kept God's word, I just used his word, coming his word. No, we're going to stand fast. We're not going to be removed. We're going to stand on what we say. What we say is what it is, and it's how it's going to be. We didn't have to get all upset and go outside of ourselves. Now, the old Derek, and y'all have been knowing me for about a year now, I've been practicing this stuff of just letting the Lord fight the battles and me sit back. And I'm telling you, it's peaceful, but it's also hard. If I told you it wasn't hard, I'd be lying to you. But it's peaceful because at night I was able to rest in knowing that I did what the Lord would have me to do. And when you're going up against obstacles with your family, with work, with your job, everyday life, we have to learn how to rest. We have to learn how to renew our mind. We have to learn how to endure the hardships. We have to learn how to stand on his word. And then we have to do the last T, trust for God's results. We have to trust him. We done all of that. Now we have to trust him. Now, what do you try to say? And I just want to take my time here. What does this have to do with King David in the Ark of the Covenant? When you're in the presence of God and you know that you're in the presence of God, you're going to celebrate him by worshiping him, by praising him all the time. Now, we can't, and they did it with the instruments. They had a parade. And this is what we ought to do every day, because we as believers have to bring the presence of God with us wherever we go. And if we bring the presence with us, we have his power. And if we have his power, we have his provision. And if you have the presence of God with you, people are going to look at you crazy. People are going to look at you and try to find fault with what you do or how you do it. And this is what I'm trying to say for us. If we can learn how to carry the presence of God with us on a daily basis, it will make our life for the Lord that much better. People say, well, how can we take the presence of God with me when I work in a place full of sinners? Well, you work in a place full of sinners, but you still have the presence. Your light will still shine. You will still make people feel uncomfortable. And because they feel uncomfortable, they're going to do two things. They're either going to try to join you or they're going to try to hinder you. And when they hinder you, it shouldn't be a surprise because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to hate on you. they're supposed to talk about you. So the last T is Proverbs, R-E-S-T, Proverbs. Trust God for the results. Proverbs 3 and 5. Proverbs 3 and 5 say, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. See, my understanding is I'm trying to fight the Lord's fight when the Lord is supposed to fight my fight. And I want to say what I want to say. But see, that's not what the Lord wants to say. So when we learn to trust in the Lord and let the Lord handle the situations, we can become and we can have rest. We won't allow what the outside people say hurt us, harm us, or make us do something that we don't want to do. We just have to learn to trust in the Lord, trust his word. I'm not supposed to be fighting. That's the Lord's job. The Lord will fight my battle. I just have to trust and believe in the process that he's going to get done. I have to trust that my light is going to continue to shine. I have to trust that my light will go in dark places when dark places come around me. I have to trust that I can endure whatever people are saying or trying to do to disrupt my house or my temple or my body or my mind. I have to endure it. And not only do I have to endure it, but I also have to renew my mind. I can't think the way the world thinks. I have to think the way the Lord will have me think. In order for me to think the way the Lord would have me think, I have to be connected to the Holy Spirit. In order to be connected to the Holy Spirit is I have to have a relationship with the Lord. In order to have a relationship with the Lord, I have to study the scriptures and apply it to my life. And when I can do all of those things, it's still going to be hard, but you will be able to rest when the people who are closest to you try to hurt you. You will be able to rest when people talk about you. And I know people say names don't hurt, but yes, they do hurt. I had a little side note I wanted to say. I had family come in, and this true story, my wife can be a witness to this. Someone saying to me when I first saw him from my family, and this was on Friday night, they said, wow, Derek, it looked like you gained a lot of weight. And they said the comment loud for a lot of people to hear it. It didn't bother me until a little bit later. And now I was self-conscious of the way I was looking. You see how the devil was messing with my mind? And I was asking my wife, and I was saying, what is going on? And it was from somebody that was close. And it started to mess with my subconscious. I didn't want to eat. I wanted to go get a new outfit that made me look slimmer. This is, I'm for real. I'm telling, this is me, Eldar, saved almost.
I hear you.
40, it was messing with me. And I didn't think that it would mess with me. I'm thinking, Evangelist Stanton, I'm over this. People can say I'm good, but because it came from a source that was close to me. Now, if it had been somebody else, I really wouldn't have cared. It just bothered me the whole day, the rest of the day, Friday. Saturday night, I'm at a graduation party. Me and my wife had some friends that we ain't seen in about 7-8 months. We haven't, because of the pandemic, we haven't seen them. And very loudly, they were talking outside. And they said, Derek, they only told my wife, it looked like your husband lost a lot of weight. Now, wait a minute. Mm. Just the day before it happened, someone close to me said something, and it had me messed up. I didn't eat all day Saturday. I was so, I even wore all black. They say you wear all black to make you look thin. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true. But that's where my mind, it was messing with me.
Right.
And then somebody out of nowhere that wasn't close to me, that's just friends from a distance, hasn't seen me, would make that comment. And the person that said the comment was in earshot to hear the comment. They don't know each other. They're from two different states. So now the Lord was messing with me. I shouldn't allow what the outside people say affect me. And the Lord was dealing with me. I'm like, you know what? I did all that worry and all that for nothing, because what they say, do, doesn't even matter. It is trying to put me in a dark place because my light is shining. And what we have to realize as Christians and as people of God, as David was dancing so hard for the Lord, his light was shining, that the person closest to him, his wife, despised him for praising the Lord, even though he took his clothes off. She could have said he did it for the women. He could have been because he was trying to show off that he was, regardless, whatever the reason was, at the end of the day, he danced before the Lord. He was that happy. And he wasn't going to allow no one to discourage him from praising the Lord. And what I'm saying is, us, a lot of times as Christians, and the Lord gave me a reminder this weekend, I have to go to bed every night and rest. Because if I rest, I know I'm doing the will of the God. I know I'm doing the will of the Lord if I'm resting, because I'm renewing my mind. I'm enduring the hardness. I'm standing on his word, and I'm trusting him. I can rest. We as believers have to go to bed to rest at night. Regardless what your job situation is, regardless what your financial situation is, regardless of whatever going on around you, we have to rest because we are the light of the world. And if we don't allow ourselves to rest, people will continue to make us look like we're weak individuals and we don't believe our word. Because even though they tried to change the concept of my house, even though they tried to change the way we live our life, we still stayed steadfast. We were resting in what we believed in. And at the end of the day, we're too holy for them. And that's their prerogative. They can live in the darkness. We choose to live in the light, and we're going to have rest. But when you try to bring the light and darkness together, you have to be able to understand, if you're a believer, and we all got family, we all got people who don't act right, who don't do right, and we have to fellowship with them because they're family. We can't pick or choose them, and we have to do it because we have to give them an alternative in case they want to change their life over to the light. They know where to go. And when people see me and my wife, they always come to us when things is in trouble. But yet, again, they still want, when they get together, their job is darkness, is to try to bring that darkness into the light. And what I've learned is, as long as we can rest and know that we're doing the will of God, we're going to be okay. We can go to bed at night happy, knowing that we've done what God wanted us to do, with no complaints, with no worries. Yeah. And I just wanted to get that out there to the people, because if I'm going through it, and sometimes, you know, I dodge and move and I get hit, and I ask the Lord to show me where I can be better at. And every day there's a situation that comes up where the Lord is showing me how I can be a better disciple for him, a better man, a better husband, a better brother. I can be it. Not saying that some things don't hurt. They may sting me for a minute, but once I get back into the word and I get to my spiritual place, it all becomes calm, cool, and collective. Because at the end of the day, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, regardless what happens, I'm good. It doesn't matter. I'm good. No matter what happens, I am good, because I have the word of God to stand on. And regardless what happened, I'm good. Even if something tragically was to happen, I'm still good. The devil gets no victory nowhere if we learn how to rest and knowing that we're doing the will of God. Anyone have anything to say? I'm sorry, I'm just going off.
This is good, Elder. This is good. I mean, this is real life. And you said the key words. The only way we can do this is by staying in the word of God, by prayer, by worship. I mean, I'm constantly throughout the day, and as we all should, as sons and daughters, all day long, just if I'm not on the phones, or if I'm not talking to clients, or if I'm not talking to coworkers, then I'm giving God glory. I'm singing praises, not loud. I'm praying. I'm reciting the word of God so that you can keep that mindset. So you can keep that mindset to praise him even in the midst of, you know, like you said, God, I'm going to be all right because I have you. And the Holy Spirit brings back to your remembrance, yeah, they may have said this, but the word of God says this about you, you know. So you're dancing out of those clothes that don't fit you anymore. And that's the way people, you know, try to come at you. You know, and I was thinking an old expression that we used to say when we were younger, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we didn't realize as children how wrong that statement was.
Amen.
Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can take you out. Talking about words will never hurt you. Words, especially as a child, if you say something, those words stay with you throughout adulthood. And even as adults, like you said, somebody close to you said something about your weight. It got you to the point where you didn't even want to eat because those words came. But the word of God says in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
The tongue. Amen.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we have to be careful of what we're saying to people. And we have to be careful of what we allow into us that we believe. Because do we believe the report of the Lord? Or do we believe what man says? And that only comes with practice, like you said. You know, you get stronger and stronger the more you say, God, you know what? I believe what your word says. Yes, they may have said this about me, but your word says something differently about me. So you allow that to overtake you. You allow that to, at the end of the night, be what you believed. You know, and God reiterated with somebody who said, you know what, wait a minute, you look like you're losing weight. So, that's great. I don't know if Elder, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Elder, do you have anything you want to chime in on?
Yes, sir. That was very thought-provoking, what you preached about, what you said, even Evangelist Stokes. I'm sorry, not Stokes. I've been having her on my mind for all week with Evangelist Stanton. It's a thing about when we go back to our first love, which is Jesus Christ, if you've been saved. Our first love is Jesus Christ. He wants us to go back to our first love. When we go back to our first love, it's a thing about people that will be jealous. It's a thing about people that won't understand. And even in the natural life, when you go back to your first girlfriend, when you go back to your first love, the girl that you ever loved or the man you ever loved, people will be jealous. So it's not a strange thing that the family would be wanting to be comfortable in what they do into your house. It's not a strange thing because a change has not happened in their life as it did in the person's house, right? So I've had that experience with my family, and we didn't make it uncomfortable for them. We just did what we do. We celebrate the Lord. We try to do what's right. And we got standards. So if you want to visit me, I'm in love with my first love. And I don't want to disappoint my first love, if you can understand what I'm saying. So, and not to be rude with my family, but, hey, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. You know, if you got to go outside. And like you said earlier, as for me and mine and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But I'm not rude against them. I'm just, we don't do that here. So on your next visit, your expectations should be of what you saw before you left. Ah. So a man, you know, and there's something about a man of God or a woman of God in their house of how people see you, how people perceive you, and most importantly, what people bring back to the table, what you left behind. So we got to keep that in mind. A lot of folks are not going to, God is not going to call everybody. I was reading about this the other day. God is not going to call everybody. That's why everybody is not going to listen to the gospel. That's why everybody's not going to understand what you're saying about God, because everybody's not called. You have to be called by God to accept it and understand. And for the folks that can't accept it and understand, only the gospel can be taught to them. That's it. No teachings of any other scriptures can be taught to them. Only the gospel can be presented to them, and they have to accept it or not. But our households are our sanctuaries. And when David went and got that ark, he just made everything change in the city of David. And when he was dancing and praising the Lord, as Elder, Evangelist Stanton said, he danced out of his clothes, and the women was what his wife was jealous about, seeing him naked, praising the Lord. That's what she was jealous about. So she didn't have confidence, and she was not called of the Lord to be in the praise with David, and that was the issue. So we're going to have those folks in our lives that's going to come into our homes or wherever we're at that's not going to accept anything that we do. They're not going to do it because they're not called. The only thing can call them is the gospel. And if they don't accept the gospel, then that's another issue for them, not us. But I salute you for letting us know what's going on with you, Elder Oliver. I salute you. I promise I salute you. Because it's a reality for all of us. And you put it out there, and there's no shame to it. But our first love is an enemy to others, because we dedicate ourselves to that first love. Yes, sir.
Amen. That was good. Thank you. I like that first love. Thank you. thank you, Elder. I definitely appreciate that. I'm very, and I don't know what you want to call me, but as I live my life, I learn. And I'm not ashamed. One thing my father taught me is if you did it, accept it. Because if you don't, the enemy will use that against you. So whatever you do, just confess it, because it has no power. If you try to hide it or try to combat it, it will eat you up. But if you just let the people know the truth will set us free. And sometimes I might teach or preach something that I've went through that I'm learning, because I don't want people to think that I'm too far advanced, that I got it like that, or stuff don't happen. Now, I'm a little surprised that a comment from somebody had me in my feelings. I'm still trying to figure out how did that happen? How did I let that slip through the crack? But it did. Because if you'd told me 2 weeks ago, I'd have told you I really don't care. I'm going to keep on eating. But at the same time, it just affected me for a moment. And then the next day, the Lord, I was kind of chastised a little bit. Because the Lord, like, you allow that to manifest in your head all day, all night, by somebody from the outside to say something that doesn't even matter. And that's why I have to be careful. If it happens to me, I'm sure it happens to people that just sits in the just happens to everybody. It could happen to anybody. If it happened to me, it could happen to anybody. So I just want the lesson tonight to be about being able to get rest when you're going through difficult situations. Be able to rest in the Lord. And that's really all I got tonight. I hope you got something out of it. I hope you enjoyed it. I can talk and continue to preach on and on about what's going on in my life because this is the life that I've chosen. I love serving the Lord. And every time that I serve the Lord, tomorrow is going to be a new adventure. It's going to be a new challenge. It's going to be new. I don't have it all together yet. And there's some areas I'm strong in. I'm good. But there's areas that I'm weak in, and the devil will come at me from all these different angles. We have to be together. I have to be ready for the challenge each and every day. That's what makes me a better brother. That makes me a better husband. That makes me a brother disciple. Because I'm living my life the way God wants me to live it. And if there's something uncomfortable, I'm going to explore it. And I'm going to ask the Lord to give me the tools I need to strengthen me up. And that's basically all I got. I hope you guys got something out of it. For those that are listening, I just want to say thank you again. I want to say thank you for the panel tonight, Evangelist Stanton, Elder Bluette, thank y'all so much. Y'all mean a lot to me. And when I say that, y'all really do with your words, with your input, even when you guys are teaching, it just means the world to me. And that's what gets me through day in and day out. It's the lessons that I've learned over this past year. Reminders of certain things that people have said from the Tuesday night Bible studies. It's just certain things that I've learned through the Sunday morning messages. And, you know, everyone on the panel has a special place with me. And I can tell you there's certain things that I use and when I go out that are reminders. And this is just how I work. I'm a visual person. And if you give me something visually, I can remember it. It reminds me. I can't go to a restaurant and not think about Evangelist Stanton with the butter knife and the butter. It puts me right in a spiritual place. So you don't know because there's been many a times Derek wanted to take over, but I seen the butter knife and I seen the butter and it takes me to the word that you presented on a Sunday. It's just things like that. It just keeps you. It keeps me at rest. It keeps me from being it keeps me from being Derek. It just keeps me where I need to go. When I can talk to Elder Bluette, when I can have a conversation and he can throw a nugget, it may not seem like a lot, but when you're walking for the Lord and things happen, things come to my remembrance what people say that the Lord used them to give them a word, and it just helps me. That's why I'm at peace. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm just enjoying life, regardless of what people may say, regardless what the situation may seem like. I'm going to rest well tonight knowing that I got the word of God. And again, I didn't talk too much. Evangelist Stanton, I'm going to turn it over to you. Thank all y'all for listening and for you guys chiming in tonight. I'm done.
Yes, sir. Great lesson on tonight. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for your transparency. I think it's good that we, you know, are transparent sometimes, not with everything, but some things that we are transparent on to show how we handle it, you know, as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Great word on REST, renew your mind, endure the conditions, stand on the word of God, and trust God and trust God for the results, because God is going to bring the results. And we said it earlier, the way you do that is by standing in the word of God, prayer, studying the word, worship, praise, talking to other like-minded Christians, you know, who are the Word of God. Those are the things that's going to help us in this walk daily. So we praise God and thank you for the lesson on tonight. Like Elder Blue had said, very thoughtful lesson. So our week, usually on Monday nights, we have D&K Bible Break with our own Derek and Kisa Oliver at 7 p.m. on Blog Radio. On Tuesday night, we do have our Bible study at 7 p.m. here on Blog Radio as well. Thursday night, we have Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Our first ministry is our family at 7 p.m. It is on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. And then on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., we have Live at the Tabernacle, at Praise Tabernacle, at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can catch us by Facebook or Blog Talk Radio as well. Don't forget, we do have an email address for anybody who would like to give a prayer request, a testimony, or if you want a topic talked about during Bible study. Send in those requests. If there's something on your heart that you want us to talk about as a panel, as a group, as believers, send it in to us. It's anonymous. You don't have to worry about if we see your email address. We don't know people's email address, and if we do recognize your name, it's okay. We don't judge you. Maybe there's just an issue that you want to hear about. It's okay. We won't give your name. That stays anonymous. We would just talk about the issue. Any prayer requests, your name will stay anonymous. Any testimonies, if you don't want us to tell who you are, that's okay. Your name will stay anonymous. Our email address is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, the word for, F-O-R, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T. @gmail.com. Please do send us your request in. We will pray over any requests that you have, any testimonies that you have, or any topic that you would like to deal with during Bible study. We just want to say we thank God for each and every one of you. We pray that you would trust God in the journey. We pray that you would turn to the Word of God and have a "it is written" in your mouth. We pray that your gun will be loaded already and that you don't have to try to prepare when the enemy come up against you. Get a scripture, memorize it, get it in your mouth, have that "it is written" word to give back to the enemy. And we would like to end with the Great Commission on tonight, which comes out of Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and honor, glory, God. Amen. Have a great evening.